What you just heard was the original ending to the Gospel of Mark. Mark is the oldest gospel in our Bible. It was used as a template for Matthew and Luke, and undoubtedly was inspiration for John. So the very first story of the resurrection was what you heard. No Jesus. Just an empty tomb. A strange guy in white with a message. And the women in fear. The end. I love this ending. This seems to me to be the one true Easter story. Because it's so very human. It meets us where we live. There's a total lack of certainty. So, Jesus was killed on the cross, late afternoon Friday. Jewish tradition says that you can't bury anybody on the Sabbath. Sabbath started at sunset on Friday. The followers of Jesus had very little time between realizing that Jesus was dead, negotiating with the Romans to get his body down from the cross immediately, and rushing it into a tomb and getting it secured before the sun set. They didn't have time to prepare the body. So they came back sunrise after the Sabbath on that first morning of the week, Sunday, to prepare his body for its final rest. But when they got there, they found the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. Can you imagine how they must have felt? First, they arrested Jesus, then they humiliated him, then they tortured him, then they executed him. And now they've stolen his body. But there was a young man, we're told, a young man dressed in white, who was sitting there at the tomb and helped provide a little story to explain what was going on. He said to them, "Oh, yeah, Jesus. Yeah, he was raised. And he's gone on ahead to Galilee, and he wants me to tell you and you to tell the disciples that you can meet him there in Galilee." And then the women hear this, and they run off in terror. So you have anger, confusion, doubt, terror, and hope. Hope in the midst of all of those other emotions. Hope in a possibility that you can't lay your hands on. This ending was a challenge to the editors of the Bible before we got the final version in. They felt like this ending really didn't cut it. And so they wrote a new ending to the Gospel of Mark, which, like the Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and John, has the resurrected Jesus up walking and talking and greeting people. The authors undoubtedly, the editors undoubtedly believed that by writing this new ending, they would help reinforce faith by making the story a historical event that people could get their hands around. But the problem with making a historical event is that it becomes too easy to get our hands around. We're simply asked to believe that this event happened in the past, this supernatural thing happened, and that proves that Jesus had supernatural connections to God, and that by believing in Jesus, we will have a supernatural ending to our lives in a place that we can't see but hope for in heaven. Belief about what happened in the past, belief about what will happen when we're dead, and in between, where we live our lives, we'll just do the best we can to be as good a people as we can be, follow some basic rules. Easy peasy. A Christianity that's easy to grasp. But there's a problem with having it so easy. From the beginning of civilization, we have lived in the context of a world governed by violent people, an order maintained by violence, an order which benefits some at the cost of others. We call that order here the domination system, and that's been around since the beginning of civilization. And because it's always been there for generations untold, we've grown used to it. We see it as the normal way of being. There will always be violence. There will always be oppression. And so our hope is for something out of history, something beyond history, in a heaven. But the problem is, when we have come to the belief that the way things are is the way that they will always be, we help perpetuate the way things are. If our expectation is that the way the world is the way that it will be, then passively or actively, we are helping it continue on. If we are not actively opposing the violence and injustice, if we're not actively seeking to help those who are suffering, then we are passively helping the system carry on. But Mark's story throws everything open. It doesn't give us a historical event that we can grab onto the past and then hold on for our future. It gives us a living question. It's not something of the past. It's something of the now. There is an immediacy. What's going on here? What do we believe will be the resolution to this story? Did Jesus rise? Who is this guy in white? Mark doesn't describe him as having wings or a halo or glowing in any way. He's just a guy wearing white, sitting there by the tomb, telling a story. Do we believe him? It becomes a choice for us. A choice that makes all the difference in the world. Because if the story's true, if the bad guys with guns don't always win, if truth can't be killed, then nothing needs to stay the way it is. Then everything can change. We can actually end homelessness. We can actually stop polluting the atmosphere. We can put an end to violence. We can equitably distribute the good things that God has given us in this existence among all the people of the earth. All of these seemingly impossible things become possible if there is a resurrection. Now, when I was a child growing up in a more conservative setting, I was told that I had to believe in the historical resurrection of Jesus, or I wasn't a Christian. And I was told that if I believed that, and if I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, then I would go to heaven when I die. I have no problem with people believing in the historical event of the resurrection. I do have a problem with people saying, you can't be a Christian unless you believe that. What we're about as Christians isn't about believing something in the past. past and believing something in a future. It's about living in the here and now. There is no certainty in Marx ending for a reason, because it's a living dynamic that we have to answer. Paul says that the people who follow the path of Christ become the body of Christ. The living, breathing body of Christ, existing in the here and now. The living, breathing body of Christ, alive in the world, is resurrection. Those who follow the path of Jesus, who take Jesus as the model for their lives, who do what Jesus did, who help those who are in need, who speak out for justice, who challenge complacency, who include people who are excluded. People who do these things are doing what Jesus was doing. They're living out the truth of Christ. They're living out the love of God, and they are being the resurrected body of Christ. Resurrection is different than resuscitation. Resuscitation is about coming back from the dead. We have those stories all the time about people who were diagnosed as being dead, but then were resuscitated. And they come back to their normal lives. But resurrection is about coming back transformed. A resurrected being is not one who was the same before their death. A resurrected being can't be killed. The body of Christ can't be killed. Members can be. But as long as there are people living the love of God in the world, then the body of Christ lives on. And that's why there's this whole part about meeting Jesus in Galilee. Jesus did those things, lived that example, and then was killed, and then called people back to Galilee, back to where the story started, and a new cycle begins. A new body of Christ goes on. And they live their lives and spread God's truth, and they die, and a new cycle, and a new cycle. On and on and on until the world is transformed. And it will be transformed when we believe that it can be transformed. We are the living body of Christ. It is up to us in how we choose to live our lives and what we choose to believe about what is possible for our lives and the world. It's up to us to make the resurrection story alive. That's the point of Mark's ending. The ending of this confusing, frightening, disorienting story is answered by our choice. Should we choose to live as Christ lived and do what Christ did, then we become good news. Amen.